Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Don't pay retail for your next project. Pay wholesale. Rocky Mountain Forest Products. You can find them in Wheat Ridge. And by the way, if you want to listen to our show, take us on the go. Don't forget to download our app, Mile High Sports. You can listen to the show. You can listen to our podcast. You can listen to us on demand. You can listen to all the shows on demand. Or if you're not so technically inclined, but I'm guessing you are, you can always listen to us, you know, terrestrially on the radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Mace, how are you? How's the carpal tunnel treating you?
You know what? I'm just going to bring myself one step closer to having a procedure here, hopefully, in getting this taken care of. But, you know, got to wear the brace today. But it's all right. See, I was diagnosed a few years ago.
Right.
But the thing is now it's okay, time to finally push through and have the procedure. But they have to put you through like tests and so forth. And then it's basically like, okay, we just want to rule out anything neurological. Right?
When's the procedure?
I don't know. We haven't set a date yet.
All right. Well, it's a good thing that you're married with that problem with your wrist.
Hey now. It's also
single guys would be screwed. And I don't mean that literally.
It's also a good thing that
No one knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, I talk more than I write now in right. my professional life, because if this were the time right. when all I did was write, I would be on the
right.
IL for a couple of weeks, but
yeah.
this is not going to stop me from coming in and talking to you. And besides, I'm going to have to have it on both wrists.
Really?
Yes, but I'm not doing it at the same time.
No, I wouldn't recommend it.
If I did, then as the late Jake Scott, Super Bowl VII MVP, said when he had both of his wrists broken,
right.
said, quote, "Now I find out who my real friends are when I have to go to the bathroom."
Right. I never thought of it that way. Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Thank God you are married. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Matt Lombardo of FanSided was told by multiple sources that Aaron Rodgers at least wants out of his contract sooner than the current term of his deal, which is another 3 years. One NFC executive told Lombardo that Rodgers wants his deal restructured in a way that will allow him to do what Tom Brady has done on the tail end of his career. Honestly, Aaron, very different situation. Tom Brady was a free agent. He wasn't let out of his contract early, but I suppose you believe what you want to believe. This is what the NFC executive told Lombardo. Quote, he wants to get some sort of deal done, but he wants years off of his deal so he can pull a Tom Brady and be the next guy to try and go elsewhere to win a championship. For starters, and I just alluded to it, the Tom Brady situation is nothing like this Aaron Rodgers situation. Tom Brady wasn't under contract anymore.
His contract expired. The Patriots let it expire.
And he wants something new. He wants something done, to the best of my knowledge, has never been done in the history of sports. He wants out of his deal early. I hear of guys wanting to restructure. I hear guys not showing up because they want a new deal. Have you ever heard of a guy saying, "I want out of my deal early"? Because that's not what Tom Brady did at all.
Well, sometimes in baseball, we see kind of the player option, the team option, the mutual option.
No, that's right? not this. There is no yeah. option here. He's under contract.
He's trying to create, he wants it basically to where he has an option, but that option doesn't exist. In the NFL, when they do these contracts, the option is basically, it's one way. It's the team.
Like right.
When Peyton Manning was a Bronco, remember, he had to go through the physical March of every year for the next year to kick in on the contract.
Right.
Because of the neck surgeries. So in effect, the Broncos had an annual option on Peyton Manning.
Right.
But Peyton didn't have an annual option on the contract.
Right. Oh, and you know what we could do? We could also do another type of option that only happens in football. Let's role play for a second. Yeah. You are Peyton Manning. I am John Elway. Okay. I will start. Peyton, you're taking a $10 million pay cut or you're gone.
Okay.
Good.
But
done.
I want the ability to earn that money back.
Fine. You can earn it back, but I'm taking it off the books right now. Is that the deal? Because I'm cutting you.
The ultimate bet on himself move.
Right.
Because the only way he could earn it back was literally by winning a Super Bowl.
That's the way it works in the NFL. Not you want out of your contract 2 years early. With that, you think the Packers are going to do this?
It wouldn't surprise me if they did.
They're going to. Because
the truth is, when they drafted Jordan Love, how long were they planning on letting him incubate?
Right.
I mean, two years, 3 years, 4 years. Now, based on Aaron Rodgers' contract, it was in 2022, next year. That's the first year that if they cut him, the cap savings outweighs the dead money. If they cut him prior to June 1, they will save $22.6 million. And they will have $17 million of dead money. But that's kind of always a key thing. When does the savings outweigh the dead money left on the deal that you're absorbing? And so it's always, it would hurt to have $17 million of dead money, but that's always been the moment when, okay, they could do that.
They're also getting probably two or three first-round draft picks and a player or two.
If they trade them, yes.
Right.
But the question is, does what would Aaron Rodgers prefer? Would he prefer to be traded where he can say, I'm only going to go to certain teams, or would he prefer to just say...
Right now, he only wants to go to the Broncos.
Cut me and move on.
No, they're not going to do that. They are not going to do that.
The compromise is going to be where they say, all right, we're going to move you, and we're going to structure this contract to where it's easy to move you after this year, but we're going to trade you. And then Aaron will say, fine, I want it narrowed down to a specific list of teams. I don't think it'll be one team. The Green Bay would blanch at it being one team.
Right.
Because if the list was one team long, what could stop the Broncos from just saying, oh, we'll just give you a second round pick.
Right.
And this is the only thing you're going to get.
This is the worst thing that could have happened to the Broncos. And you know what? Right after draft day, I really thought that Aaron Rodgers would be coming here. I thought there was a better than 50% chance. I think there's a 10% chance he comes here this season. I think he's going to play for 1 year. They're going to try and, microwave Jordan Love as much as they can, and then they've got their first round pick, and we'll see how Gutekunst is a talent evaluator at the quarterback position.
And the other thing is, obviously, by doing that, it turns this scenario from one where the Broncos were the overwhelming favorites, by far the team that could most easily take on Aaron Rodgers' contract and work him in right away, to where the field widens a little bit. All of a sudden, does Las Vegas really enter the conversation?
I'll be honest. If I am Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't seem like the type of guy who really cares what people think. He doesn't seem like the type of guy who really gets his feelings hurt. But if you were Aaron Rodgers, would you want to play 10 games, including two preseason games, one preseason game, whatever it is? Would you want to play 8, 9, 10 games at Lambeau Field in front of those fans, knowing that all of those fans know this is your final year because you have demanded your way out? I wouldn't. You're going to be playing in front of 60, 70,000 people, and they're pissed at you. And this is your last. You're not going to get a farewell tour. You're going to hope that the door doesn't kick you on the way out unless you win a Super Bowl. The fans should be all over him. If the Packers agree to trade him after this season, I mean, he's willing to stay there.
Some fans will blame the Packers, though, for drafting Jordan Love in the first place and setting this up.
No.
I would say it will not be 70,000 people booing. It would be a mixed reaction. What I think you would see is, anytime Aaron Rodgers made a mistake,
oh man!
Which admittedly, he doesn't make many.
The booze will rain down on him.
Yeah,
I mean it's kind of like Brett Favre going agreeing to play for the Vikings, and then playing one more season for the Green Bay Packers. Not as bad, but still pretty bad. because we're talking about the Vikings.
Yeah, and the fact that you have the potential of him wanting out of his contract, this is where it's different from a player whose deal is expiring. Like LeBron James's contract expired with the Cavs, and then he moves on to the Lakers. But the contract is expiring. This is somebody who's trying to get years shaved off the contract. Look, for the Broncos, I wish that everything would work out tomorrow to where it just like everyone's like, all right, clearly this is just going to be awkward. Clearly this is going to be uncomfortable. Let's just move on now. In the words of longtime Florida AD Jeremy Foley, what will be done eventually should be done immediately. But the Packers are still kind of trying to have, you know, the cake and eat it too. And even to some degree, so is Aaron Rodgers. This has reached a point where it's almost farcical. Because the simplest solution for everybody, at least the one, everyone at least, except the Packers' ability to contend this year, but the one that would make everybody the most comfortable would be trading him right now, but that does not appear to be in play.
No one has said this, and certainly they don't care if it's being said in Denver, but this is what I would say if I hosted a radio sports talk show in Green Bay or Milwaukee or Eau Claire or Mequon or wherever.
Oconomowoc,
one of my favorite words. How about Hayward, Wisconsin? That's way up north.
Madison.
Wausau,
Chippewa Falls. Let's just name all the towns in northern and central Wisconsin.
You know what I would say? Hey, Brian Gutekunst, you wanted Jordan Love? You used a first-round pick on him? Trade Aaron Rodgers. Let's see how good you are as a talent evaluator.
Yeah.
This is the guy you wanted. He's already been sitting for one full year. Generally speaking, first-round quarterbacks should be ready to play their second year. Let's see how good you are. Or are you afraid that everyone's going to see that you evaluate quarterbacks like John Elway?
I mean, this is the guy that you could have had. I mean, think of the guys that went in the picks after. You could have had T. Higgins. You could have had Xavier McKinney or Kyle Duggar, some good safeties. You could have had Patrick Queen, the linebacker who went to Baltimore.
Right.
But no. You traded up to get Jordan Love. You didn't just pick him. You pick him.
Who else traded up? Did anybody else we know trade up to get a quarterback late in the first round?
Specifically at pick 26. I remember a team that did that.
Who?
The Broncos and John Elway.
That's right.
To trade for current Saskatchewan Rough Rider Paxton Lynch.
That totally slipped my mind. Thank you for reminding me. Coming up after the break, the NFL has laid down the gauntlet when it comes to COVID and not getting the vaccine. And the punishment is going to be severe. And how is this going to affect teams this season if guys get sick? How is it going to affect roster cuts after training camp? This is a big story, and that's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Foreigner 4, nice. One of the first tapes I ever bought.
Isn't this the song that played when Les Nessman was putting on like a wig on WKRP in the day?
I was not a big WKRP in Cincinnati fan, but you can make the case that music is the soundtrack of our lives.
Yes.
And yes, we remember where we were when we hear a certain song, or maybe what was the first CD you ever bought?
Wow, because I had records and tapes. I didn't actually go CD until about 1993. A little later than most. I had records and tapes. So the first record that I bought of my own volition was the Return of the Jedi soundtrack when I was 7.
Wow.
I mean, we had other things that my parents had bought, but I think that was the first one that I had my allowance money and I bought it at the, it was Peaches Music and Peaches Records and Tapes in Richmond, Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah. On Broad Street.
All right. Well, the first CD I ever bought was in college. I was a sophomore, so that was about 1987. Uh-huh. I'm a fan of Steve Winwood and Traffic. I'm not as much anymore. But there was an album called Back in the High Life.
Yes, I remember that one.
And the opening track, the drums are so pure that I thought, I got to hear what that sounds like on CD.
Okay.
And that's why that was the first one I ever bought. And then I had this huge CD collection, and now there's no reason to have CDs anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Because I long ago, I can...
I'm 8-track in my car, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I know. Best of bread.
Yeah. You know, the thing with the CDs is, about 20 years ago, I first converted all my CDs to MP3s.
Okay.
And since then, of course, you know, you've transferred computers and all that, but I still have those original MP3s, and now I've incorporated them into my iTunes library.
Can you transfer? Well. Do you have the ability to transfer VHS tapes into something?
There are places that do that.
Do you have that ability?
No, I don't.
Can you find a way to figure it out, pay for it by yourself? Because I have some VHS tapes I'd like to dub over into digital.
I mean, there are shops that'll do it.
I know there are, but can you pay for it and figure it out?
You want me to pay for it for
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
I see what you're getting at. I'm like, are you really asking me what I think you're asking me for?
Actually, it's funny, and I don't want to get too far down
the
rabbit hole.
If I pay for it, I'm putting them on YouTube.
Okay, that's fine.
Warts and all.
I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole with this, but many, many years ago, my kids were asking me about my career, and I said, I used to anchor at CNN. They're like, no, you didn't. Yeah, well, I did. No, you didn't. And I have all these tapes from when I anchored at CNN. So when I tell you, I went to, I think it was the PBS station in town, and they allowed me in their control room to dub over tapes onto a CD. I probably spent 5 to 6 hours there.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. And I edited it all down, and I got home and like a dog going to the sliding glass door on your patio with a rabbit in its mouth. I was all proud of myself, and I could not wait to show them. And I slipped in the CD, and within 30 seconds, you know what they said?
What?
That's great, Dad. And they walked away. I'm thinking, I just put in all this work to prove it to you,
yeah.
and you just walked away? That's great.
I can't believe that there's not like a clip of you from like Buffalo. What station were you at?
WKBW.
WKBW.
You I believe were there that in, was in a movie.
Yeah, it was in Bruce Almighty.
There you go.
Yes. So you were the predecessor in a way to Steve Carell and Jim Carrey.
Yes, I was the predecessor to a couple of fictional characters.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
But I can't, yeah, I'm like, WKBW, there's got to be like a, there's so many old local newscasts
look
on
for
YouTube.
It. Knock yourself out.
Now I'll have to look for WKBW
this
from
is well
the 1990s.
Before YouTube. That was 1994 no,
but people,
to 96.
People put old, like, WKBW 5 p.m. News, July 10th, 1995.
What is it?
July 10th, 1995.
I was anchoring there then.
Yeah.
When was the show? Who was anchoring the show? Was it Irv Weinstein?
I don't know. It might be like the weekend. It's
let me see.
Hang on. This is great radio, by the way.
Yeah. Eyewitness, that looks familiar.
Yes.
Well, that just looks like a package. Is that the entire?
No, it's the whole newscast.
Well, go to the sports. Maybe I'm there.
Oh, my gosh. This would be wild.
I didn't do the weekends, though.
Keith Radford and Kathleen Layton.
Of course. I worked with both of them. And then Murph was the sports director.
Yeah, who's still the voice of the Buffalo Bills, right?
He is.
The great John Murphy. And John Murphy's anchoring the sports. There he is. Oh, my gosh, he looks young.
Well, it's because he was.
I know, but I'm used to seeing him in a press box and, you know, seeing him now.
Right.
He's still got a great set
he's
of pipes.
He's a grandfather now.
Wow.
He wasn't a grandfather back then. Back then, his kids, Jack, and I can't remember his other son's name. Now they're both grown, and Murph and Mary have grandbabies.
There's
now.
A golf report on this broadcast. There's a NASCAR report on this sportscast.
I bet if you really looked, you'd find something with me there. I'll tell you what you would be stunned at, the amount of hair I had back then.
I
had a lot. Well, not like Danny-like hair. But
we know
hair.
That in your Topeka days, you were described as well-coiffed.
Was I?
Yeah, by the Daily Oklahoman in Oklahoma City.
Really?
Yes.
What was that for?
It was because you asked a question to Billy Tubbs.
Oh.
And then...
That's what coiffed means.
And, well, coiffed means you have a nice head of hair.
I did.
And you were referred to by an Oklahoman columnist...
Wow.
...as being well-coiffed. They didn't name you.
Right.
They just said a well-coiffed sportscaster from Kansas.
Well, keep that looking at that stuff. Maybe you'll find something and you'll get a really good laugh out of it.
I have Irv Weinstein's final newscast here, but that was you after would. You
he
were was gone.
If you think Adele Arakawa was a legend here, Irv Weinstein was the legend of all legends.
Is it Weinstein or Weinstein?
Weinstein.
Okay.
Well, wait, is Irv Weinstein? Oh my gosh, I can't believe I don't remember this. Irv Weinstein.
Okay.
Yeah. He was best known for saying, "Fire in Tonawanda, fire in Cheektowaga."
If you can say Cheektowaga on a regular basis.
No, it's easy for me.
Oh, exactly. You live there.
You know who knows Irv Weinstein
who?
As well as anyone? Is Darren McKee.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he and I worked in Buffalo at the same time. As a matter of fact, I was watching I was watching something on NFL Films.
It was on Doug Flutie, right?
Doug Flutie.
He asked the question.
Darren asked a question.
About Flutie's height, right?
That's right.
At the press conference. It's interesting that D-Mac will be the one to ask the question about
Darren wasn't
the height.
A sports guy back then. Darren was a radio disc jockey. That's what he did back then. He wasn't a sports guy back then.
But back then, every radio station had somebody that would, even if they didn't do sports, every radio station had somebody they would send out to cover the big events.
You're going to pee down your leg. You're going to pee down your leg when I tell you this one. You know whose radio partner was?
Who?
Mark Stout.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Wow.
Uh-huh. The three of us were all in Buffalo at the same time. Darren was there. I don't refer to him as D-Mac because I've always known him as Darren. I've never called him D-Mac. It's always Darren.
I feel like
on my phone, it's Darren.
Maybe I should have gone to Canisius and been in the 90s and seen some of this broadcast greatness.
Well, you know who was the head basketball coach at Canisius when I was there?
Who?
John Beilein.
Oh, that's right. That was before he went to Richmond.
And that's before he went from Michigan. And that's before he went to the pros.
Well, he had another stop. He was in West Virginia for a while, right?
That's right. So I have followed John Beilein's career. I didn't know John that well. The guy that I know well is Jack Armstrong. Jack used to be the head basketball coach in Niagara, and now he's been the voice of the Toronto Raptors probably for the last 10 to 15 years.
This would be a hell of a segment if we were doing sports talk radio in Western New York.
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else came from Buffalo. Buffalo always had the craziest stories. Like, I was there for the OJ trial.
Which was a bigger deal in Buffalo than pretty much anywhere else for obvious reasons.
This was the joke, sadly. This was the joke about Topeka, about Buffalo, New York. Anytime, like, a major disaster happened, everybody worked on, okay, what's the Buffalo connection to this? Because everything bad that happened always seemed to tie to Western New York or Buffalo. Oklahoma City bombing, Tim McVeigh. I think he was from Western New York. It was always something.
And this came on the heels of losing four straight Super Bowls. It was no wonder people really thought Buffalo was having a real rough go of it for a while there.
I loved living in Buffalo.
It's a great, it's an underrated town. It's got a lot of
character. I don't know if it's underrated. I just loved living there.
No,
I had a lot of good friends right near the Peace Bridge. The summers are great. You go sailing on Lake Ontario.
I've enjoyed every one of my times in Buffalo. Although, wait, Lake Ontario is up by Rochester, though, right?
No. You're thinking of Lake Erie.
Lake Erie's by Buffalo.
No, that Lake Erie is by
Lake Erie's eastern edge is by Buffalo. I
might have to look it up, but I used to go sailing on Lake Ontario.
Yeah, and I think Lake Ontario is like right by Rochester.
Lake Erie is Cleveland.
Yeah, but Lake Erie goes up along the shore, and like there's Pennsylvania has. Yeah, it ends in Buffalo.
I used to sail J-80s on Lake Ontario. It was not Lake
Ontario. So that means you went over to up to Rochester and you sailed on Lake Ontario.
Correct.
Because Niagara Falls and the Niagara River, that is all part of what is between Lake Erie and Lake Ontario.
Right. By the way, if you ever go to Niagara Falls, you need to go to the Canadian side because the view is much better. It's not as good on the American side.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to tell you about my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I worked with him probably about 6-7 months ago to get my estate plan together and also my living will and my will. I procrastinated about this for a very long time, and I'm so glad that I stopped procrastinating because now I feel everything is in order. God forbid something happens to me. I know my family is taking care of, and that's a big deal. You don't have to have a lot of money to have an estate plan or a will or a living will, but it's important to know that you have that peace of mind that everything is put in order just in case, God forbid, something happens. Because you know what? You never know if you're going to get hit by a bus tomorrow. Go with my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. Go to themckenziefirm.com. That's themckenziefirm.com. All right. We kind of blew through a stop sign. We were supposed to talk about this big news in the NFL on how everybody who has not been vaccinated better be vaccinated, or there can be some serious repercussions. We'll talk about that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Thank you, WKBW, wimpy, kitty baby whiners. That's what that stands for!
As I think I told you in commercial break, for as much as 9 News dominated in the ratings here, when I was at WKBW, we were the most dominant affiliate in all of local television. Meaning, it was WKBW, WIVB, mm-hmm. the CBS affiliate, we were the ABC affiliate. The ratings were so large that no one across the country came even close. That's how dominant the station I was with back then.
Impressive.
It had nothing to do with me. Believe me, it had nothing to do with me. Time now for the final word. Not the final word. We'll call it, I don't know, what's trending? How's that?
What's trending? The buzz?
Yeah, what's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
All right, got some breaking news here. This coming out of the Colorado Avalanche organization. Thanks to our friend Kyle Keith, the Avs will open up the season against the Chicago Blackhawks on October 13th at Ball Arena for opening night. Two teams that I cover or used to cover, used to cover the Blackhawks. Now it is the Colorado Avalanche. So Avs fans, you will get your fix with or without Gabriel Landeskog on October 13th. In the meantime, some huge news coming out of the NFL. NFL has informed all teams that any regular season cancellations arising in this upcoming season due to a COVID spike from a team non-vaccinated player or staff. If that happens, the club with the outbreak will forfeit the game and will be deemed to have played 16 games for the purposes of draft order and waiver priority for playoff seeding. The forfeit will count as a loss, and the opposing team will be credited with a win. Also, there won't be a forfeit in a game that is scrapped due to vaccinated players testing positive. I know a lot of players on Twitter reacted to this today.
Yeah, and there were some that certainly were not happy about this, and you saw some tweets put out but get deleted. Leonard Fournette of the Bucks tweets out, "Vaccine, I can't do it." Ellipsis, deletes that. You had DeAndre Hopkins of the Cardinals having a tweet that he ended up deleting as well.
See what Stephon Diggs put out there?
What does he say?
He said, accountability, ... availability. So he went completely against his teammate, Cole Beasley.
Yes.
In Buffalo.
Yeah. Which is significant.
Yep.
And there are a lot of tentacles to this, but one that kind of jumps out is if you're a team and you have if you're an elite player, they're going to keep you no matter what, and they're just going to roll the dice. But if you're not one of the top 10, 15 players on your roster.
Right.
I'm not just talking about guys on the edge of the roster. I'm talking about like a mid-roster guy.
Let me throw a name out there.
Yeah.
Let's say Justin Strnad decided not to get vaccinated. His spot on the team is in danger.
Yes, it is. If that, for those guys that aren't among the elite core of the team, if you're not getting vaccinated, they will, teams will look at you and say, we don't want to roll the dice on this guy potentially screwing us up, and they'll keep the player who has been vaccinated. That, like it or not, this is going to happen in roster decisions around the league over the next several weeks.
Here's something completely cynical. Let's say, for the sake of argument, there's a player on the team who doesn't want to be there anymore, and he doesn't get the vaccine, and he gets cut, and he says to his agent, whoever signs me, I'm getting that vaccine right away. How's that for cynical? I wonder if somebody will do that. Maybe Aaron Rodgers will do that.
I knew you were going to say
right?
That.
I'm not getting the vaccine. Nah, I'm good. Then he goes, signs with Denver. Oh, where do I get that vaccine?
Yeah. Where do I get the shot?
Right. He'll probably get it at the airport on the way to Denver.
You can get vaccinated at airports, right? Right? Don't they? I mean, there are vaccine stands everywhere. I was at a Rapids game last night. There was a vaccine table right there on the concourse. If you wanted your vaccine while watching a soccer game, you could do it. They have it at the Rockies game, too.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a vaccine stand at training camp when the Broncos gather next week.
Right.
Now, the Broncos, I don't expect they'll be 100%, but they are one of the teams that's at the 85% threshold. They were, as of last week, one of the top four teams in the league in terms of players getting their vaccine, which means that the team goes into an entirely different territory when it comes to this. It basically means that if enough players and coaches have been vaccinated, then if there are COVID-19 positive tests to the point where you can't play a game, they will not forfeit the game.
Right.
And that's the key thing here. If you are, if you have an outbreak that comes from a lot of unvaccinated players and you haven't met that threshold, that's where a forfeit comes in. And here's the thing. In a forfeit, both teams would not get paid. However, the team that caused the game to be canceled, the team that is forfeiting the game, not only would they have the forfeit on their ledger, the other thing that comes into play is they would have to cover the cost lost by the other team in terms of expenses, and that may include salary as well. So this is the NFL basically, and this is the NFLPA as well, because the NFLPA agreed to this, which is what's causing a lot of players to be frustrated. They're like, well, what? This is the Players Association. But in the Players Association, majority rules. And a majority of players have been vaccinated.
Right.
So this is like, it's like when they vote on a contract. Majority rule, the majority approves the contract. It ends up getting ratified. A majority of players are vaccinated, so they're going to agree to these terms that to some that are against the vaccine may seem draconian, but to guys like Stephon Diggs make perfect sense.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, the NHL has announced something regarding next year's schedule, so we'll talk about that and what it means for next Winter Olympics. Also, the NFL Network set to carry a very high number of preseason games. We'll get into that and what it means for the league to have those games available to everyone. That's coming up next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, go to rmfp.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, a couple points of breaking news here. We have just learned that Jets assistant Greg Knapp has reportedly died as a result of a bike accident. Knapp was 58 years old. So rest in peace to him and our thoughts with his family. Also, breaking news in the baseball world. Nelson Cruz has been traded from the Minnesota Twins to the Tampa Bay Rays. So this is about that time for things to start getting real hot on the baseball field. Your reactions there.
We'll start with Greg Knapp, who's the Broncos quarterback coach from 2013 to 2016. And if those years seem somewhat familiar to you, those are 2 years in which the Broncos went to the Super Bowl and won one. He was a big part of the Broncos organization, although not for obviously a very long amount of time. Orlando Franklin, a member of that Broncos team that went to the Super Bowl, this is what he tweeted out. So sad. Coach Knapp was a great coach, but even a better mentor and role model. Thoughts and prayers go out to the Knapp family. This is really bad.
Yeah, it's really tragic. And, you know, he had just started, working for the New York Jets, and he was really excited because, of course, he was getting to work with a young quarterback in Zach Wilson. And that was kind of what Greg Knapp excelled at. Obviously, he did have some outstanding veteran quarterbacks that he provided mentorship and instruction to, but he's one of the best teachers on the practice field in the meeting rooms that I've ever seen in my years covering the NFL. And sometimes I recall being at the facility early or being there late and in the quarterback room, seeing him go, like you'd see him with Trevor Siemian a lot, just going over stuff one-on-one. In 2015, for example, the Broncos, they're on their way to the Super Bowl, and you know, Peyton Manning was struggling because injuries had caught up to him, but a lot going on, but he was somebody who was always knew that, okay, I'm going to make the extra time to work with a young guy and help him up. And that's why I'm saddened for him. I'm saddened for his family, and I'm saddened for the New York Jets as well, because I think they had made a really wise choice in bringing him in to bring along Zach Wilson. I think they would have done some wonderful things together. It's just, it's tragic on so many levels that we've lost Greg Knapp. He's one of the best people you could hope to meet in this business.
As for the baseball news, Nelson Cruz getting traded from the Minnesota Twins to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays usually don't make big splashes like this. It is the first major trade leading up to the trade deadline in a couple of weeks. What do the Rays get, who are already the fifth highest scoring team in baseball? A .294 batting average, 19 home runs, 50 RBI, and an OPS of 91.
You just rattled off the numbers. I mean, here he is. He's, you know, he's 40. He's 41 years old. Just turned 41 earlier this month. He still hits with a lot of power. He's going to step in and be their designated hitter. It's the Rays lineup need a little bit more thump. He's going to provide that. And then just kind of for Cruz in particular, here's a great shot to kind of add one of the few things he's missing. I mean, he's got 436 career home runs. I mean, he's been an all-star several times. He's probably going to get some, he could get some Hall of Fame traction. How that would be helped is by going to a contender like this. And if he can get the Rays over the top, they've lost a couple of World Series, but they've been a contender for the better part of the last 13 years. If Nelson Cruz gets them over the top, he gives the Rays something they've never had. And he may even put a stamp on himself getting to Cooperstown. It's a big thing for both sides.
A lot of people in baseball looking at the Boston Red Sox as a nice comeback story, leading the division. Yeah, they're leading the division by one game over Tampa. And you look at the top teams in the American League right now, the Boston Red Sox, 58 and 38. The White Sox, 58 and 38. The Astros, 58 and 39. Tampa Bay, one game behind Boston. Third or fourth best record in the American League. Right now they are a wild card with the addition of Nelson Cruz. They could again finish with the best record in the American League.
And you know what? You look at them. They've got a great pitching staff. They have a great bullpen right now as well. But you look at their lineup right now, and again, it's not a lineup that has a great deal of consistency. Now, Brandon Lau has 21 home runs, but his OPS is 790. He's batting .214. Nelson Cruz instantly becomes the most dangerous hitter in that lineup. He is exactly what the Rays needed. Great move on their part. I think this is the kind of thing that could push him over the top.
And by the way, the trade is not official, but according to many sources, from what we are reading, the deal is being finalized right now. We expect it to happen.
It also shows Minnesota's clearly sellers, most disappointing team in baseball.
Just in case you missed it, the NHL will schedule the 2021-2022 season with a break for the Beijing Winter Olympics. Do you guys expect a large percentage of NHL players to participate in those Olympics or just take that time off as time off?
I actually, if things are progressing to where the Olympics can be somewhat normal, unlike the way they are in Japan right now, but if we're further down the line, coming out of COVID and with vaccinations to have a normal Olympics, I think you will see a lot of players take part because they didn't get the chance in 2018. So you have a generation of players that haven't experienced this that are going to want to. I don't think you're going to see many guys opt out unless they're injured. I think if there's the opportunity and it works out, you're going to see full strength teams at the Olympics in Beijing. Guys are going to want to be a part of this.
I got to tell you something. When you look at the Team USA basketball, you're expecting Team USA to win. I know they stumbled early in some exhibition games, but the NHL and the Olympics, that is competitive. That's really competitive. There is no clear-cut favorite. Clearly, Canada is going to be up there. I don't know if the U.S. will be. They're going to be more of the underdog, maybe even a Russia. But boy, that would be something to watch. The only thing that's disappointing is the time difference.
Yeah, but they'll find ways to get around the time difference and say, all right, you know, we're still going to play in times that are palatable for North American audiences. So I would expect you'd see the U.S. and Canada, their games taking place in the morning Beijing time, which would be in the evening to late evening here in the U.S. and Canada. But it's wide open. You can look at the field and any one of about six teams could come out with the gold medal if they get hot. I think it's going to be a hell of a tournament.
At the risk of getting thrown into a Chinese prison, if somebody is listening, how in the world is Beijing, with all their human rights violations, getting another Olympics?
How did we see an Olympics in Sochi in Russia?
No, we're talking,
I know,
the summer games and the winter games this close together. I mean, who is really getting paid off here?
Yeah, and
When it comes to the IOC, that's as corrupt as the NCAA.
And the IOC kind of went through their phase where they were willing to go to wherever could put the games on to their liking, even if it meant going to a repressive totalitarian state.
Now you're the one going to prison, calling them totalitarianism.
It's a
autocratic dictatorship.
It's a dictatorship.
Boy, enjoy your time eating Chinese food.
But now you have new management in charge. IOC is
new management.
The IOC is trying to move away from them. Because you look at where the Olympics are going after Beijing. In 2024, Paris, 2026, Milan.
That's where they have French fries.
Paris, Milan,
spaghetti,
Los Angeles,
smog, haze, fires.
And then they haven't determined, I believe, the 2030 winter games, but then 2032 summer games are going to be in Brisbane, Australia. So they're consciously trying.
I love shrimp on the barbie.
But they're also going to places where they don't have to do a lot of construction. The facilities are generally already there.
You know what I'm going
to... And that's because they wanted to get away from, we'll go to wherever we'll get this thing off on time and damn the budget, to places where it's somewhat sustainable.
You know what I'm going to do to get pumped for that Olympics in Brisbane? I'm watching Crocodile Dundee tonight. What do you think of that? And then an Olivia Newton-John movie. I am getting ready.
So you're pumped
for Australia. I mean, problem is I need subtitles to understand those people.
Oh my gosh.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it. You can try before you buy. I mean, you can walk in any store and try out the appliances before you buy them, plus their sales staff. No one's more experienced than Mountain High Appliance. They can help you design an entire kitchen or get you something to fit your budget. Go to Mountain High Appliance, Louisville, Littleton. You could also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, ESPN loves one particular Broncos player who happens to be a second-year player. Who is he? That's next.